Right.
Yep.
How's everything going? Can everybody hear us okay?
Yeah.
Hopefully. We just recorded some shit, so hopefully the microphone is not doing its weird thing.
Yeah, we recorded the review of Young Frankenstein.
Yeah,
Came out good.
which is gonna be up at the end of the week for you guys. But yeah, so
Esther said, "Hi, Jenny and Tom. Bob is getting me all three volumes of Faceless Villain for my birthday
yeah, she sent me a
next
message on
month."
Patreon
Yeah,
and
right.
said that. Yeah, and said that was her
Thank you very
husband,
much.
because her birthday is at the beginning of June.
Oh, you'll
So I
like
told
them.
her, like, happy early birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope you like them. Tell me
You'll
what you
like them.
think. I mean, I think they came out good, if I do say so myself.
Everybody likes them. They seem to.
I still got to
Yeah.
get back on that fourth one. Like I said, I got two chapters of it written, but I just got so distracted by other things that I haven't been able to work on it. But I'll eventually get around to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
So yesterday we saw Eye of the Tiger,
the third one.
the third one.
Like I said, we were going to do all three of them on one show, but then we saw the first two, and then we didn't have time to watch the third one. So we
We were
watched the
getting
third one
sleepy,
last
yeah.
night. Yeah, I think I fell asleep during the second one a little bit too.
Yeah.
I might have dozed off a little bit during this one as well, but.
I think Badger called it the other day. This is the weakest one out of the three. It's not a bad movie, but it doesn't beat The Golden Voyage of Sinbad. That's the best one.
The thing about this one, I think this one was the first one that I saw, because I'm pretty sure that I saw it either at a drive-in or at a regular theater. So I probably saw it like when it first came out, like in 1977. So I would have been about 5 or 6 years old. And you know what? I distinctly remember wanting to go see it and being disappointed that there wasn't more tiger in it. I was
Yeah.
hoping that there would be a tiger like through the whole thing, because I was like, tiger's rad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But really, there's kind of like a saber-toothed tiger, a Smilodon or something, like at the end.
And it's not a tiger.
Yeah, it's
It's
not
not what
really
you're
a
thinking.
tiger
You're thinking of a
tiger.
tiger that's got stripes on it the whole time. That's not what it is. It's
No.
more like a, it's more like a, just like a lion. A li like, it's like a lioness with fucking saber, with big old
It's
long
a
teeth.
Smilodon, that's what it
Smilodon,
is.
that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Okay. But doesn't really matter. That's just a small part of the movie. I think the whole Eye of the Tiger angle is the sorceress's eyes. When she does certain things,
Yeah.
cat eyes pop out, which not really explained, but it doesn't have to be explained.
Yeah,
It's
she's
just
like a
magic.
witch, you know.
I would say that this is the weakest out of the three. It's like I said, it's not bad. It just has certain problems. The dialogue is kind of muddy. There's no reason to have certain dialogue, especially in the first 1/6, maybe 1/4 of the movie. A bunch of dialogue happens that isn't real clear. It's like you don't really know what the movie is about. And then finally it starts to settle down that they have to go to this damn island to get a prince converted back into a human being. He got turned into a baboon.
As one does.
Yeah, and you got to go to this island to get this wise man, and then once you find the wise man, you got to go to another place to get the transformation done. And he's the heir to the throne, to become a sultan, and you got to get him on the throne because his mom has another son from, or you know, or, this is a son from two different mothers. Okay,
Yeah, this is
right.
Zenobia is the stepmom, the evil
The evil
stepmother.
stepmom.
Yeah.
She's a sorceress. She's trying to get her son on the throne. So there's kind of a cool element, you know what I mean? Because she shows up when you first see her, the sultan is like, "Oh shit, here's my wife. Be quiet, don't say nothing around her." And she shows up with her own entourage. It's like she's a vi villain when she appears, and she's just this English chick with a Russian accent. And she's as Russian as hell through the whole thing, kind of an ice queen. And they make a damn mechanical minotaur called Minoton, and everything is. I remembered it as a kid, you know. It was pretty cool, you know. They make his heart and everything. She brings him alive with a spell. It gets kind of disappointing though towards the end. You know what I mean? Fucking Minoton goes out like a bitch.
He does a little bit.
Yeah, you're like, man, you built that thing. You built that thing, and all it did was row the boat and pull a fucking stone out of the water. That's it. And then it died. Well, you assume that it got crushed. You know,
Was supposed to fight the Trog at the end, like the troglodyte. I think it was supposed to fight him at the end. Like that was one of the first things that they were throwing around.
it must have been budgetary constraints. That fight never happened.
Okay, so the weird thing about this, I dug a little bit into the kind of the history behind this trilogy. So like I said, the first one came out in 1958, and then when Golden Voyage of Sinbad came out in 1973, it was like really, really successful, you know, and it made a shit ton of money. So then Columbia Pictures immediately, like, I think while the second one was still in theaters, they started to say, okay, well, we need to make a third one. So they th were throwing around a bunch of ideas for it. Now, see, Eye of the Tiger, I don't think was the original title. It was supposed to be called something like Sinbad at the World's End or something like that, because they wanted this to be the biggest budgeted one, and they wanted it to be like a more globe-trotting one, which it is. I mean, he does go, you know, out to
Go
this
to
like
two
Greek
islands.
island, and then he goes like to the Antarctica or whatever, or wherever that is, or the Arctic Circle. So they did do that. Another thing too is that they wanted to focus, I guess Ray Harryhausen, you know, obviously he was kind of behind the writing of this as well. I think the script was also co-written by the woman that did Jason the Argonauts as well. But he wanted the monsters to be less fantasy based and more like prehistoric animals. And I think, because I think somebody mentioned earlier, like the big giant walrus that they have to fight at one point. I think that was originally supposed to be a yeti, but then for whatever reason, they decided to do a walrus instead.
Giant walrus. Couldn't be a regular walrus. It had to be a giant one.
Well, just a regular
Yeah,
walrus coming towards you, it'd
wouldn't
be
have been any
like,
good. Right.
it's a walrus, you know, that you're bigger than them, kind of. I mean, well, it depends on what kind of walrus it is, I
Walrus can
guess.
get pretty fucking big, yeah.
That's true. But yeah, so the story behind this one. Now, I think that John Philip Law, who played Sinbad in the second one, was actually supposed to be in this one too, but I guess by the time they got around to making it, like he couldn't do it for whatever reason. So they got Patrick Wayne, who, fun fact, is John Wayne's son, and actually started out, I think, when he was younger, like acting in some movies with his dad. He looks like the lost Bee Gee in this one, though, I gotta say. Like some of the shirts, especially that. The last scene when they go to the shrine and that shirt that he has on, and he just, God, he looks so much like a Bee Gee. It's like every time he was like in that scene, I kept going, staying
It's kind of a
alive,
lost
staying
BG.
alive. I know, and he's just like, stop it, you're taking my move.
That was a cool look for that era, though. That was a very cool look for that era. You know what I mean? That Bee Gees was big back then. And makes me wonder if Eye of the Tiger might have, was that a reference to the Survivor song? That was before, I think
No,
that came out later.
this
It's
came
like
out
the,
like way
yeah,
before
way
the
before that.
Survivor
I was
song.
thinking, it got kind of confused about what era it was.
And every time I think of that Survivor song, I think of the Weird Al Yankovic parody of it, which is like about going to a deli. The
Having
Rye or the Kaiser.
seen this movie makes me think that when I saw it in the theater, it was a double feature that played Golden Voyage of Sinbad and this one. Because some of the stuff from Golden Voyage I thought was in this movie. You know what I mean? But no. But I remembered everything that this movie showed me, I remembered it. Here's another problem with it. Certain shots look great. Other scenes where there's a lot of special effects happening and it gets really, really grainy. It's because they're using layered stuff. Superimposure along with mats and then
A
fucking
lot of it was miniatures and stuff too.
miniatures, and then and it doesn't look as handcrafted or as well detailed as Golden Voyage. Golden Voyage feels a lot more expensive.
Even though this one was the most expensive one.
Yeah, you can't really tell.
But the thing about it's like the stop motion animation looks amazing, like always. Like the Smilodon and the troglodyte, that looks amazing. The baboon looks amazing because that's also stop motion. But the traveling mat shots,
Not as
those
good.
pretty much universally look like crap. And they don't even look as good as the ones from 1958. Like, because there's one point in this where the witch turns herself into a seagull, which doesn't look that good. And then she comes back and she's miniature and she's running around like in the, you know, in the little ship,
That
you
looked
know,
pretty cool,
cabin.
though.
But I think that the miniature lady from the 1958 one looked better than the one in the 1977 one.
The effects from the when she was shrunk down. Yeah, maybe.
Well, because what ended up happening with this was that a lot of the shit, like the stuff they filmed like in Petra, in, you know, in Jordan, which, like I said, they also used in one of the Indiana Jones movies, Last Crusade, I think it was. That was shot later. So when you see a shot, there's one shot with like the whole cast or whatever, the entourage, like standing in front of the thing, like in Petra. Those are all stand-ins. So anytime you see the actual cast, and Petra is in the background, that's all Matt done because none of them went there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the stuff and a lot, I think all the scenes, most of the scenes with, some of the tombs and stuff, not the tomb, but like the shrine kind of thing. It's like, I think that was almost all miniature. So they had to be like matted into that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really, it doesn't look that good.
Yeah. You can tell they're not on location.
Yeah.
It just kind of cheapens it. I think you could probably fix it with modern computer technology. It needs to be remastered. There's probably a bunch of stuff you could do to fix it. It
probably should
be. And it would have ended up, I think, better. It's just that it's the special effects. I think they're kind of, the tone that you get from seeing these special effects is not as charming as the first two. Yeah, it just doesn't feel as good. It feels like an uneven tone. You get realism and then something that looks like fantasy and kind of fake, and then it goes back to kind of realism, like a clear shot that looks really good, and then it gets crappy again. It's a very uneven tone and it's kind of throwing you out of it. And I didn't remember that as a kid, seeing it, of course, on the big screen. Maybe the copies were fresher and it looked better back then. Or maybe it's because I was just a kid.
Yeah.
But I remember the movie being popular, people talking about it.
Yeah, it did kind of make a lot of money. Although, like I said, I think nowadays, in retrospect, I think most people will agree that it's the weakest. And I think even Ray Harryhausen later, even though his stop motion looks really good in this, like it always did, I think that he said, well, it seemed kind of rushed. And like I said, they didn't really like, I mean, when they got Patrick Wayne for the lead, cause John Philip Law couldn't do it. You know, they said he didn't really have a lot of charisma. Him and Jane Seymour didn't really have any, chemistry, together.
Yeah, I can notice that.
And, you know, so that was something, so they had like a lot of problems, like when they were making it, like I said, the production of it was very rushed. They were trying to get it out as quickly as possible, even though it still took like 4 years to make it. But
I mean, Jane Seymour, she's cute, but she's no Caroline Monroe. Caroline Monroe was a lot cuter, you know? And of course, you know, they were showing her off a lot. I mean, she's just a kind of generic, if you ask me. And then they have another girl that shows up later, who's kind of like the stand-in for fucking Archimedes. He's supposed to be Archimedes' friend. He's kind of like a Greek scientist. And his psychic daughter is there. And she didn't really have a whole lot of chemistry either. It's just like somebody they shoehorned in there. You know?
Yeah, that was Tyrone Power's daughter. Tyrone Power. I think she was in a couple movies, but she didn't really want to be an actor. So I don't think she was in much after this.
The only woman in this that kind of had any kind of charisma is the evil witch. She was hot and did a good job.
in a hot old witchy lady kind of way.
She wasn't that old. I know, I'm just saying. She wasn't that old. She's probably about 40.
Her eyeshadow game was on point.
Yeah. She was in good shape. And, you know, she had that fucking badass kind of black cloak and doing fucking spells and... She was just, you know, an interesting character.
Yeah.
You know, and they wasted a lot with her and this Minotaur. There really should have been a lot more of that Minotaur.
See, that's what I see. Okay. So I kind of thought, one thing, let me point this out before I forget about it. I thought I was going crazy, but the guy that plays the witch's, Zenobia's son, who she's trying to get on the throne, which is why she turns the actual prince into a baboon, like you do. That guy, I'm like, that guy looks like one of the guys that was on Sinbad's crew in Golden Voyage of Sinbad. And I'm like, maybe he just looks like him. No, that's the same dude.
Okay.
He's just playing a different character. But I was kind of like, that seemed like a weird choice to make. But anyway.
Yeah.
So her whole plot is, like I said, she wants her son. She's the stepmom. She wants her son to be on the throne. So she turns Kasim, who is, you know, the next in succession, into a baboon. And so that kind of sends them off to like find somebody that can fix the spell or whatever. So her and her son build this big brass minotaur called Minotaur, like you said. Yeah. It's really cool. It's like this really cool sequence. And they make like this kind of cool, like clockworky sort of heart thing. And it's just like it's going to do her bidding, right? But then I kind of feel like they should have done more with that because he looked so cool. And pretty much all he did was when they were, you know, following the Sinbad and the crew, like out to find Melanthius or whatever that dude's name was, and then going on. So he, all he did was like steer the boat and shit like that. Oh, you know, when they did the, when they did like close-ups of Minotaur, it was stop motion, obviously. Yeah. But when they did long shots, there was a person in that. Okay. And do you know who was in that?
Who?
Peter Mayhew, the guy that played Chewbacca.
Oh, okay.
That was his first, I think it was his first film role.
Oh, okay.
He was like, I don't know if he was credited, but yeah, he was like the live actor inside the Minotaur costume when they showed it from far away.
Yeah, well, there was a whole hell of a lot of build-up for the Minotaur. And it looked really cool. And it did cool shit. It could row a boat for six men. They got into the witch's ship and it didn't even have sails. You just had Minotaur back there rowing this thing like this, and it would row fucking six of the oars down there. So he was kind of like he was a motorboat.
Yeah.
He was a boat motor. Yeah. He was a boat motor. And then they get to where they're going finally. He does kill a few guys. They're in the water.
That's right. He speared a couple.
Yeah, he killed a couple guys. And then there's a lot of buildup. You know, they even showed his construction. And she says, this, you know, Minotaur will be our army. And she spends the whole fucking movie yelling at it. Minotaur!
I know. Open this, close that. I was expecting the Minotaur just turn around like smacking her one.
Yeah. Minotaur, you're being a... Pookie comes running in. You calling me? No, I'm not calling you.
Your name's not Minotaur, Pookie.
Your name is not Minotaur.
Although I could call you that if you want me to.
So
little Minotaur.
Yeah. And then, you know, they get where they're going and you go, Minotaur, open us, make an opening. And then the thing fucking pulls a block out and crushes itself. And she looks down at it and goes, he's done his job. And I was like, not really. Not really. Because you had built this up to where this was going to be your army, and you still got fucking Sinbad, most of his crew, and then you got the damn troglodyte monster with him. You know, there was a lot of shit he could have done.
I kind of thought that was going to be one of he was going to be like in the main like boss fight.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was going to be like the troglodyte versus
everybody
the Smilodon versus everybody in the crew versus Minotaur.
Yeah.
See, it should have just been a you know, big brouhaha.
Yeah, her son gets killed. He falls down the stairs. Ain't that something?
I know.
Falls down the stairs, breaks his neck. Come on, man. I thought this was supposed to be an English movie. I mean, you know, they can usually come up with some better shit than that. The Minotaur crushed himself, and then the boy falls down the stairs and breaks his own damn neck. All right? And then, like, they both went out like bitches. You know? And then... evil sorceress, she does the last thing she could do, which is she astrally projects out of her body and jumps into an old frozen saber-toothed tiger that looks like a fluffy fur.
It is pretty cute.
Yeah, it looks like a fluffy fur animal, kind of like something a teenage girl would put on her bed. You know what I'm talking about? That's what it looks like. And then that thing comes down, kills the damn troglodyte.
I know, Trog was a nice guy.
Troglodyte's fighting and finding and fucking, and the brave, you know, Conan, Sinbad and his brave crew stand there.
I know, they're just like backing up. Maybe we should leave.
Yeah, they watch it. It's fighting to defend them, and it's, you know what I mean, and they're not even helping out.
I'm like, you want to jump in there and like help Trog there?
Yeah, they finally decide to fucking jump in there and help out after it's killed.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's already sitting there dying. Okay, let's help him now. Well, yeah, thanks, bitch. You know.
I know, Trog is like, curse you, human.
Yeah, he fighting to defend you. You let him fucking get chewed up. Things tearing his back up, biting him on the neck.
Yeah, it was kind of sad.
So
Trog was really kind of the hero of the movie.
Yeah,
honestly,
it just felt like it didn't quite have the scope. It felt of the second one. If even though it went to more locations, they seemed to not carry the same weight.
I think too, this would have benefited from being a bit shorter, because I do kind of feel like a lot of time was spent on the chase.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And them like being on the ship and like having Zenobia chasing after them, like with Minotaur in the boat and everything.
It was kind of a weak edit.
And it just seemed like that went on too long. It was just kind of like, hey, here's them on the boat talking about where they're going. And then here's the witch and her son and Minotaur on this boat, like following after them.
And they had all these locations, some of them fictional locations. You know what I mean? It's like some of them were not actual locations. They were miniatures, some of them. And then they were superimposed into real locations because they weren't there. That looked weird too. Remember they're walking down that valley?
Yeah.
And that's a real valley, but you could tell they're not there. You could clearly see they're superimposed. It felt cheap.
Like I said, a lot of the stuff the second unit crew went to the locations and filmed the locations.
Yeah.
And then later on they had all the actors, or prior to that they had the actors just doing shit in a studio or whatever.
Not as bad as, say, Land of the Lost, but you know what I mean? same concept.
Yeah.
Of what they're doing there. But yeah, they had all these locations that they're putting them in, but nothing's really happening in the locations. It didn't feel very important. The Golden Voyage of Sinbad was very different.
It was kind of more epic.
It felt a lot more epic, and it felt a lot more well put together. It was all a consistent tone throughout the entire movie in terms of the way the film quality looked and the way things were shot. You see, the more shit they layer on there, the more resolution they're losing. So it didn't really look good. You know, they'd have a real nice tight shot with real bright colors, and then they'd switch over to another camera angle and it looked real grainy and
it's kind of muddy
thrown
looking
together. Yeah. And you just like, yeah, and you said, I think it could probably be fixed with modern technology, but I guess the movie really isn't considered to be, you know, so important to where somebody'd spend money and time to go in there and fix that.
Well, I don't know. I just feel like I think I've seen a couple of British reviewers talking about this, and they had like a 3-volume set. Like, so they all came like in a big Blu-ray set.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's been remastered since then.
Right.
Because you have to think that, I mean, just a couple years after this, like Clash of the Titans came out, and Clash of the Titans looks really good. I mean, there's a couple of like ropey looking matte shots in that too, but I don't know. Like I said, that was the thing that bothered me. Like I said, the stop motion animation looks good, like all the monsters. And I especially want to give a shout out to like the little demons or ghouls or whatever, like near the beginning, because those look cool as shit.
Yeah.
Oh, and I will say too that Trog, I think that they used the same armature later to make Calabas in Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
That was like, so you can see the similarity. Yeah, I think they, because he would reuse some things, obviously. But, you know, so, you know, all the stop motion animation looked really cool, but the matte shots were just like really not that good. And like I said, even the matte shots and the miniatures and stuff like that from the 50s one looked better than the one from the 70s, which was kind of a bummer. But like I said, it seemed like they kind of rushed this one into production a little bit.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell it's still a good movie, but it's not as fun as the other two. You know what I mean? It's not, it doesn't have the same like epic.
Yeah, it doesn't feel as epic. It doesn't feel as put together as well. It feels like it's kind of thrown together. That's just the impression that I got. That it was just, hey, let's knock this out real quick. That's what it felt like. But people are saying that that cost more money to do that.
I think it was the most expensive one.
Yeah, it didn't feel expensive, though.
No.
The second one does.
Yeah.
Golden Voyage of Sinbad.
I liked the guy that played Melanthius.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like, the whole time I was like, oh man, I know that guy. He was the guy that was in The Omen, played the priest that got impaled. Yeah. And I guess he was a Doctor Who as well.
Okay.
Like he was one of the Doctor Who's. I guess he was maybe not, I don't know. I haven't seen all the iterations of Doctor Who, so I didn't even know that he was Doctor. I just recognized him from The Omen. But
it wasn't a bad movie, but if I could only see one, I would see The Golden Voyage of Sinbad. That's the one I would choose.
I don't know. I kind of like the first one the best.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the second one.
I don't know why. I like John Philip Law as Sinbad from Golden Voyage. Mm-hmm. I think he like is the best Sinbad of all three of them. Because the dude that played Sinbad in the 50s one was a little bland.
Yeah.
But overall, I think I liked the first one the best just because I don't know. It seemed like the most fun, the most colorful. You know, I liked the little tiny woman and I like her like helping everybody out. And so I liked that about it, but I don't know. The Golden Voyage is so awesome too, because it had fucking, it had Tom Baker playing a bad guy and he was great in it.
I liked Golden Voyage better. It had Tom Baker as the bad guy, better monsters, Caroline Monroe in there. And it had a lot of sex appeal, that movie, the second one. The third one tried to. It wasn't as effective though, you know, like I said, you could tell there wasn't a lot of chemistry there.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things they even talked about that, like, while they were making the movie.
In the Golden Voyage of Sinbad, you could tell that the guy who was playing Sinbad liked Caroline Monroe.
Yeah.
You could tell that he was like, cause, you know, she was cute. You know?
Yeah.
And here's something else, you guys didn't know this. I confirmed this today. There's a music video by Adam Ant, Goody Two Shoes. That's Caroline Monroe in there dressed as the Dam.
Yeah, I didn't even realize. I didn't recognize her.
Yeah. It's Caroline Monroe in there dressed as the secretary with the big round glasses. And she did a little interview. I read it. She said she was a fan and she loved being in that video. Said it was great. She said there was a chemistry between him and her, but she was engaged at the time. So nothing went down. So she said, but she said she, Adam Ant, in his heyday, he was quite cool, but that motherfucker's crazy today. He's crazy. Yeah, he's got a little mental problems.
He was foxy back then, though.
Yeah, he didn't age that well. He didn't keep up with himself, and his act didn't evolve the right way. You know, it could have been a lot more modernized and stayed with a similar motif, and something a little more age appropriate for him. And he's evidently quite crazy. Like, he's really crazy. Yeah,
that's a shame. I haven't seen him in a while. Yeah,
he's got some kind of, I don't know. He says he has mental health problems, but I don't know what it is.
Manga says we should check out Jack the Giant Killer. I've been actually wanting to watch that. There's a Riff Trax version of it on Tubi, and they have so many like Riff Trax on there that I'm trying to work my way through all of them, but so I'll eventually get to Jack the Giant.
Yeah, talking about Adam Ant, talking about his cool movies and stuff that he was in.
He was in some good movies.
Yeah, good. He had some good videos.
Oh, he's bipolar, so he's
bipolar, is that what it is?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've seen videos of him just hanging out with people. You know what I mean? Just from social media.
Yeah.
And yeah, he does not look very comfortable with himself. He looks crazy.
He looks crazy.
he looks like he's feeling ridiculous. You know what I mean?
I know that feeling.
Yeah, he's dressed up in Adam Ant outfits. He's a little too old to be dressed that way. And you could tell he's uncomfortable looking like that. And just go look at him. He's fucking crazy. Got the damn Napoleon hat on sideways and just like it's like deer in the headlights. You know what I mean? Like, are you taking a picture of me? You know, just
oh shit.
Yeah. Oh fuck.
I still remember, and this is going back a couple of years, probably like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And we went to a Halloween party at iBar, independent bar. And one of the best Halloween costumes I saw, there was a girl that dressed up like Goody Two Shoes era Adam Ant. Like she had the military coat and everything. She looked great.
Did she?
Yeah. I mean, it was just a really, really good costume.
Go check out that video, guys. Fucking Goody Two Shoes and go look at Caroline. She looks fucking cool. It's hard to believe she's like 83 now or 82.
Yeah, crazy.
That's what it says. Yeah.
Mango said a few years back, Adam Ant went nuts with a starter pistol in a pub in London.
That's really? Nice.
He's going to this one of those crazy kind of. Yeah, he's going into like phone throwing mode, like Russell Crowe or whatever. Was it Russell Crowe that threw the fucking phone?
Thing is with Russell Crowe is it's an accepted fact that sometimes you got to fucking throw a phone. If I show up to the hotel, you know what I mean? There's a good chance that I might throw a phone. What'd you say? You know, fucking phone.
The possibility is not zero.
It's not zero. There's a chance that I might throw a phone. And when you, if you were Russell Crowe, you wouldn't throw a phone. I'd fucking throw a phone. Excuse me, it's time for me to throw.
So I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, I'll be back.
I got something I got to take care of.
That'd be cool if run into him. What's up, Mr. Crowe? How you doing? You throwing any phones? How's the phone? I got a phone. Can you throw this for me? I want to get this shit on. I want to get it.
Oh my God. I wonder if anybody did that afterward, that kind of went. And that's like years ago. I don't know why I remember it so much.
I'd get my old dial phone.
Yeah, like you like bring dial. Him a phone and be like, can you throw this?
Can you throw this for me? I want to get this on camera.
Just well, you probably piss him off. You'd probably throw it right at your fucking head.
I'll fucking throw a phone at you. You fucking bet your face throwing phones at me and shit for kicking my ass with a receiver. I've seen a video of fucking Danzig fucking trying to beat a dude's ass for fucking with him. He kept fucking The guy kept fucking teasing him at the club, you know, trying to get him to do Danzig-like fucking things. You know what I mean? So he goes, come here, bitch, come here. And fucking chased him like that. You didn't see that one?
I haven't seen that one. I saw the one where that dude clocked him, but it's like, I haven't seen the one where he was chasing him. Another one,
some douchebag kept trying to get him to do something crazy on camera. And just kept fucking with him. You know what I mean?
Do some Danzig-like activity.
Yeah, he did. He did. Come here, come here, come here, you fucker, come here.
He's like, well, that's a Danzig-like activity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fucking Danzig. Yeah, fucking. They took my face and superimposed it on Danzig.
Yeah, he sent me that on Facebook. I was like, that's unsettling.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Fucking Soap is telling me that Danzig should be a regular guest on the show and that I should get a black wig.
You should. Or we can get a Danzig bobblehead. I'm sure somebody makes one. Yeah. And then you could do... I mean, him and BTK could have little conversations.
It can't be old Danzig, though. It's got to be young Danzig.
Well, yeah. Nobody wants a bobblehead of old Danzig. Old Danzig. Everybody wants, like, Danzig, like, in his prime Danzig.
In his prime Danzig, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Danzig.
I'm sure, isn't there? There's got to be like a vinyl pop of him, I would think. There's one probably. Of everybody else. Shit, there's probably one of me somewhere. Well, they make one of everybody. It's like, seriously, I was in a comic shop not too long ago, like in a mall or something.
That's right. She's 72. Yeah. I was thinking 82. Yeah, she's 72. That's right.
And I could not believe all of the obscure ass pop figures that they had. I think my favorite one was they had one of Bugs Bunny from that opera parody that they did. What's Opera Doc? You know what I mean? Where he had the braids and the helmet.
Yeah.
They had the Bugs Bunny from that. And I was like, I wanted it really bad, but I didn't get it.
She's 72. She doesn't look that bad for 72, though. But she's nowhere near fucking like Cassandra Peterson. We saw Cassandra Peterson in person. And she was late 60s, maybe 70s then, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She was gorgeous.
Yeah, she doesn't really look that much different.
She's gorgeous, yeah. Looks just like her. I mean, she's easily recognizable. You know, like, that's Cassandra Peterson. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not just the boobs either. No. Or the hair. Like, you can still recognize her face.
Yeah.
Like, she looks pretty much the same.
Yeah, in good shape. The same thing with, oh, what's her name? The girl from that we saw in, the one from Beyond.
Barbara Crampton.
Barbara Crampton.
Barbara Crampton looks good. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Pookie. What the hell?
Climbing up there.
Well, Barbara Crampton was just in one of the new creep shows.
Yeah.
And she looks almost exactly the same as she did back then. She looks like she has hardly aged.
Yeah. When they got her kind of dressed up like she's a little bit older, but she can also, I've seen interviews with her where she dressed just, you know, just made up and she looks fucking great. She looks just like she did.
Well, I follow her on Instagram. So she posts photos all the time when she's out and about doing whatever, and she looks almost exactly the same as she did in the 80s.
Yeah, people aren't aging the same way that they used to, especially if they're not abusing themselves and they have money to keep up with it.
Yeah, because you that does help.
I look at Danzig, I know what's going on. But I mean, Danzig, I'm gonna have Danzig on as a guest one of these days. He would be like, oh, fuck you, Iron Girl. Oh, fuck you. Me and Danzig are probably about the same height. All right. 5'6", 5'7". He's probably around that height just by looking at him. And I've seen him in person. He seemed to be about my size. He went on cycle. Say, when he came off cycle, that fucked him up. That's how he got kind of buffed out like that so quickly. He doesn't have time to work out all the time, but he went on some shit. And coming off of that, if you don't know how to come off that stuff the right way, you'll get real big around the waist. It'll fucking distort your face and everything. And that's just what it looks like to me. And his teeth looks like he's involved in some drugs. You know what I mean?
So he's got meth mouth?
Slightly. Either that or it's really bad.
I never looked inside his mouth.
So. His teeth are very yellowish, and which looks like damaged
enamel
on his teeth. I mean, it could be just smoking, but his voice is so good, I wouldn't think that he would be smoking cigarettes. But maybe he does. I don't know. Just very yellow.
Yeah, you think smoking would fuck up your voice after.
It does.
I mean, it does fuck up your voice. And he can still sing. So.
He still sings. Some guys, you know, like Robert Plant fucking used to smoke a couple packs a day. And he's singing that fucking, doing that whole fucking Led Zeppelin tours and shit, you know. So just some dudes, if they're young enough, can do it. But you're not supposed to be smoking.
True.
Fuck your voice up.
It'll fuck your voice up.
Well, it fucks up your fucking lungs, you know. Yeah. Fucks up your lungs and it fucks up your ability to hold a note for a long period of time, you know. But maybe he was doing it. I don't know. He looks like he's lived kind of a rough life.
Dancing. Yeah, yeah.
And I think he just stayed up in that old house in L.A., the old fucking junky looking house he lived in.
True.
Yeah, he sold it. He doesn't live there anymore.
But, well, yeah. Oh, thank you, Mango. Love these classic Sinbad reviews. In some respects, they are forgotten classics. Yeah. I do kind of feel like that. And I was going to say, too, I forgot to mention this, but I think that another thing that sort of worked against Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger, even though it did make its money back and it made, like, decent box office, was that this came out in 1977. Guess what else came out in 1977? Star Wars. So Star Wars had come out just a couple of months before this. And next to Star Wars, something like this is maybe not going to look so fantastic. Well, especially because the effects in Star Wars were so good, like all the mats and miniatures and stuff. And so I think that, you know, the fact that the mats and miniatures didn't look as good in this one maybe kind of suffered by comparison also. Yeah. So I think they were going to make like some more too. I think after the sci-fi boom hit, they were going to make like Sinbad Goes to Mars and some shit like that, but they never did it.
Danny says, I heard Danzig wears lifts in his shoes like Mickey from Seinfeld. He probably does. I don't know.
I mean, he should just like own his, he's not a little person. He's just like a regular.
Yeah, he's just short. But that doesn't mean anything. There's lots of short guys that are on stage making a shit ton of money. Yeah. Nobody was as small as fucking Ronnie James Dio. That dude was fucking tiny. Boy, you wouldn't know it by listening to him, though. This fucker sounded like an 8-foot giant. And everybody loved Ronnie.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody loved Ronnie James Dio. They said he was one of the nicest guys ever. No ego, but the motherfucker could sing. Cancer got him, though.
And, yeah.
Danzig made a mistake of fucking running his mouth to the wrong people when he was young and in a time that was changing. And he got pigeonholed and the shit stuck with him. And they drove him over it. You know what I mean? Fucking, it's hard to be a Satanist in a world full of atheists. That was his stick, and he kind of had a negative attitude, and that's not really who he was. I mean, if you go back and look at, you know, what was going on in the Misfits and photographs of who he was at that time, he was a little cutie boy, really, what he was. A little punk rock cutie boy. A little bitty guy. He wasn't muscular or anything, but he was attractive, and girls liked him, and it's rumored he was, you know, messing around with Vampira when he was a teenager, which that might be plausible. I know that she used to show up at some of his shows.
Yeah.
Dressed up in her Vampira outfit.
Well, they wrote that song.
She would have been in her 50s, I think, at that time. 40s or 50s, you know, which I guess that's not a big deal.
That's a MILF, you know.
She was about, and he was, you know, 16, 17. And, but he just, he was transformed himself into a fucking badass, and he tried to do it just on the back of being a singer, you know, and working out for a little bit. It's and reading stuff, you know what I mean? It's, you say the wrong things in front of the press, they're going to fuck with you. And that's what happened to him.
Well, I think, honestly, his issue is that he just takes himself too seriously.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a sense of humor about himself. No. He has like a really inflated sense of his own importance, and that's always that's always like really dangerous when you have somebody that's so insecure that they have to pretend like they're smarter and more badass than everybody else, and they can't laugh at themselves, they can't take a joke, they can't, you know what I mean? And so, and obviously people that can't take a joke or can't laugh at themselves, people are going to go out of their way to like to fuck with you because it's much funnier.
Yeah,
because you can't take it.
And who he really is, if you ask me, he was really a guy kind of more like Danny Filth, if you know who Danny Filth is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, with the Danny Filth was, Danny Filth really was just the black metal fucking Robert Smith, really. That's
sure.
All it was. It's like that, you know. A little bitty Robert Smith, but little bitty black metal Robert Smith.
It's a little bit.
Yeah, fucking Danny Filth, you know what I mean? You hear his voice and fucking see photographs of him, you know, back when we all listened to CDs and didn't know who was who. He sounded like a fucking just an evil demon, you know, probably like a big intimidating guy. No, a little bitty guy.
Yeah.
Little bit of guy, you know, who and with a personality very similar to, in a way, kind of like, you know, Robert Smith. You know.
Yeah. All right.
So let's go ahead and cut it short.
Yeah, I think we're at 46 minutes.
Yeah.
So yeah, all three of these Sinbad movies, if you want some nostalgia, you want to watch them again, they're all on Amazon Prime, yeah? Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm not sure about this country, but I've seen some British reviewers that had like a really nice 3 Blu-ray box set. I don't know if they sell that over here. I didn't see it on our Amazon, but I saw a bunch of British reviewers had it. But yeah, so check them out if you like your old school fantasy and Ray Harryhausen, all that. We should, it's making me want to watch Clash of the Titans again.
So yeah, we can see that.
We'll do Clash of the Titans next week.
Yeah, maybe. And I want to see Land of Time for God again also. And then People of Time for God. I've never
yeah.
seen it.
Yeah. I think tomorrow we'll probably do a food show because yeah. tonight we have to go to Memento Mori. They're yeah. doing a what do you call it, masquerade ball tonight. So we're not going to have time to watch a movie tonight. So we'll probably just do a food show tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as usual. So thanks everybody for dropping by and we will see you guys tomorrow. Bye.